Welcome back. This is Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. And joining us now is MJ Rosenberg, who is a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, focusing on foreign policy and Middle East affairs. He worked on Capitol Hill for various Democratic members of the House and Senate for 15 years and previously served as the director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum and was an editor for Near East Report, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC's biweekly publication on Middle East policy. Welcome to Background Briefing, MJ Rosenberg.
Thank you, Ian.
So Mitt Romney, of course, is in Israel as we speak, and he's delivering a major address. He has a big fundraiser tomorrow on Saturday evening. He had dinner at Netanyahu's home with his Netanyahu's wife. They are old friends going back to their days working for a Boston consulting firm when both just came out of MIT and Harvard Business School, respectively. So the bond is quite deep between these two men. And there's no secret that the relationship between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu is not the best. So what do you expect from this visit? I know what Romney's trying to do is peel off some Jewish American votes in Florida and shore up his support amongst Christian evangelicals who are suspicious of a Mormon but are very, very pro-Israel. So give us your analysis, if you will.
Well, I don't really think it's about Jewish votes because the Jewish community has since 1928 overwhelmingly supported the Democratic nominee. I mean, the worst election that Democrats ever had was probably the McGovern election. McGovern was, you know, by our standards, super leftist. He got 65% of the Jewish vote. Obama last time got 78%. He's now polling in the high 60s. So I don't think it's about votes. I think it's about money.
And that would be, of course, that will be on display at the breakfast on Monday morning at the King David Hotel, hosted by Sheldon Adelson, who essentially has a newspaper dedicated, a free newspaper, Israel Harum, that is dedicated to Prime Minister Netanyahu. That relationship, I think, is one worth exploring, surely.
Well, I wonder if this whole trip is really nothing more than Mitt Romney paying a house call on Sheldon Adelson. You know, Sheldon Adelson, even though he is, you know, born in America and he served in the U.S. Army, which, by the way, he says he's ashamed of and wishes he had served in the Israeli Army. But in any case, he's nominally an American, but he lives in Israel. So, and he had been for Newt Gingrich and strongly for Newt Gingrich. Now he's in the Romney camp, and I think what this whole trip really is about Romney giving homage or something, homage to Sheldon Adelson, his big donor. I don't think it's really much about. And I mean, as far as the evangelicals, evangelicals aren't moved to vote one way or another by the Israel issue. They're pretty much locked into the Republican Party by virtue of issues that are more important to them, like being against gays, being conservative on a million other issues, being against environmentalism, affirmative action, all those issues. Israel doesn't really compute for them. The other thing about evangelicals is they don't give money. This is about Sheldon Adelson and raising money from within the pro-Israel community, the Jewish part of the pro-Israel community. That's what it's about.
So I have a somewhat different theory, which I'll run by you.
Okay.
Which I guess that's my privilege, right?
It certainly is.
I think that you recall when the New York Times put out the story on how close the relationship between Netanyahu and Romney is and how far it goes back. that Israel's ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren, blasted the New York Times and said that Israel does not interfere in America's domestic political affairs, which, of course, the New York Times article didn't even say or imply.
Right.
And it was very sensitive about it. So the real question is, given the close relationship between Adelson and Netanyahu, I mean, it's unassailable that right. Adelson's literally dedicated his life and his fortune to Netanyahu.
Exactly.
Isn't it conceivable that Netanyahu has, in fact, been playing a role, a strategic role in the Romney campaign, in as much as Adelson, by giving all that money to Newt Gingrich, essentially kept him in the race and split the anti-Romney vote, and thus assuring Romney's the nomination. And now he's dedicated up to $100 million for Romney. So it's not exactly showing great loyalty to his former friend, Newt Gingrich. That's my interpretation.
Actually, I think it's a pretty brilliant interpretation. I hadn't really thought about that, that Adelson's support for Gingrich might have been just designed to split the opposition to Romney so that Romney would slip in. Obviously, Romney was always a more likely nominee. Romney has demonstrated, both during this trip and running up to the trip, that he will bring back the neocons, the exact same neocons who gave us the Iraq War. You know, his top advisor on the Middle East, the guy who's accompanied him to Israel and is advancing the trip, is Dan Senor. Dan Senor was the spokesman for Paul Bremer. Remember when he was the head of the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq? Big neocon, big right-winger. His sister runs AIPAC in Israel. I mean, you could not be more of a neocon and more in hock to the lobby. No, not in hock to the lobby, more dedicated to the lobby than Dan Senor. The Romney administration is going to be more neocon than the Bush administration, the second Bush administration. And there'll be one major difference between the two. George W. Bush absolutely refused to allow Israel to bomb Iran. And Romney is already giving signs. Well, he said it, that whatever Israel does is fine with him. I think this administration is going to be more of a, if Romney comes in, more of a neocon administration, more owned by AIPAC than the George W. Bush administration was.
And that would mean, I suppose, a greater likelihood of war with Iran.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, he said during this trip, he said that there he doesn't really see any difference between any nuclear development by Iran and Iran building bombs. As far as he's concerned, it's all the same. So, whereas the Obama administration makes distinctions between lower grade nuclear development, 5%, whatever, it's 10%, and approaching the threshold of a nuclear bomb, Romney is saying that he adopts the Netanyahu view, which is any development that they do now is part of a nuclear program, and Israel is entitled to act. I don't think that's good enough for Israel. I think what Israel wants is that the United States will act itself. And I think that there is a very strong likelihood that that will happen if Romney becomes president.
Well, already Haaretz is reporting, the Israeli daily newspaper is reporting that there was a meeting between Obama's national security advisor, Tom Donilon, and senior Israeli officials. We know that Donilon was in Israel just last week, and that at this meeting, Donilon gave the Israeli officials a briefing on U.S.'s plans to go to war with Iran if that's the choice that's made. In other words, contingency plans. And now the Netanyahu people are denying that this meeting took place. So what do you make of that?
I think that the Obama administration is trying to have it both ways. They probably leaked this information about this meeting, and then everybody denies it. Everything Obama's been doing the last couple of weeks on Israel, including a very public sign. He had a signing of a big increase in aid for Israel, in which he, instead of just having the usual pro-AIPAC representative standing around him when he signed the bill, he had AIPAC itself, the president of AIPAC was standing behind him, just like he was a member of Congress, as Obama signed this AIPAC-drafted bill increasing aid for Israel. Everything Obama's been doing the last few weeks is to send a clear signal, I'm even more hawkish on Israel than Romney, except the Israelis don't believe it. They don't believe it for one reason, and they say it in their press. They don't think that in his heart Obama really believes it, and I share that view. The difference between Romney, who will do anything that AIPAC wants and pretty much shares their worldview, and Obama is that Obama has to be, you know, dragged kicking and screaming to endorse that view. And I think that's why the lobby, if not the Jewish community, which will support Obama, but the lobby really wants Romney to win.
So what is the motivation of the Adelsons and the Moskowitz, is the guy out here that has a, is also in the gambling business, and the family that own Häagen-Dazs ice cream and all these big conservative donors to Republicans and to Romney? I mean, you've said that the Israelis don't trust and like Obama as much as Romney, but that's the difference between, you know, unflagging, solid American support for Israel and total devotion to Israel. I mean, the difference is not that great. It just seems to be in terms of atmospherics, you know, he hasn't visited Israel. You remember when the Israelis insulted his own vice president, Biden, and Biden couldn't be more pro-AIPAC than anybody on the planet. So, you know, I just don't understand what it is that the right-wing supporters of Israel expect from an American president.
Well, actually, it's the distinction between support for Israel and support for the occupation. For the right-wingers, they kind of like assume support for Israel. They know that America will always support Israel's existence. But what they want is unequivocal support for the occupation of the West Bank, of basically of Gaza, which in my opinion is still occupied, of East Jerusalem, and that's what you get from the right wing. And you don't get that from Obama and Biden. After all, Biden came right out. Actually, both of them, Obama and Biden, both of them, you know, endorsed a settlement freeze. I mean, it's not much, but it indicates where the, you know, what they would do if they could. And the Israelis can tell the difference between a Romney who will support the occupation enthusiastically and an Obama-Biden who support Israel but may not think that the occupation is, supporting the occupation is the best way to support Israel. That's a real distinction, I think.
But being against settlements is a long-standing U.S. policy. I mean, even George W. Bush had that line, didn't he?
Yeah, and it's going to change under Romney, I think. If he's president, I think we'll support settlements under Romney. I mean, I think that it's, it was kind of surprising that, you know, George W. Bush was against settlements. George W. Bush was against bombing Iran. But Netanyahu is so entrenched. There is no Rabin on the horizon, no one like that. The left in Israel is totally vanquished. I think that basically the U.S. right will line up with the Israeli right. And I think U.S. policy will clearly change if Romney becomes elected president. I mean, it only takes a president to change policy. Longstanding policy is only longstanding until it's overturned. And I think Romney would overturn it. That's the point of having Sheldon Adelson there and Dan Senor and that whole gang. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring back Doug Feith. I mean, that whole gang is still there. Elliot Abrams, bring them all back.
Right.
That's who Romney, that's whose Romney supporters are in the Jewish community. And they are all dying to come back. A very significant thing that happened basically yesterday is that Dennis Ross, who was Obama's top Middle East advisor, unfortunately, and is, I mean, about as close to AIPAC as you can be. I mean, he runs AIPAC's think tank, the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He announced that he is not going to be supporting Obama in this election. He worked for him for 3 years of the first term. He says he's got to stay neutral because he now works for an organization that requires that he be neutral. Well, that's not true. and it's a clear signal that these people whose only devotion, whose only concern about American politics is the limit of American support for the occupation, those people are going to be supporting Romney. The Jews as will be supporting Obama, but the people who only care about Israel, they're getting the signal it's Romney.
Well, but that particular crowd, the conservative right-wing supporters of Israel here in the United States, I recall recently former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert was speaking to a group of right-wing conservative big donors, the Adelson people, and he really went to town on them because they booed him when he said that he thought that an Israeli attack on Iran should be the last resort. They booed him, and then he went on to say, then he got irritated with them, with the audience, and struck back and said something to the effect that, look, you know, my children and grandchildren and my whole family are in Israel, and it's okay for you people 10,000 miles away to want to go to war, but we're the ones that get hit by Hezbollah's rockets, you know. So tell us about that tension between, and what motivates these American right-wing supporters of Israel to be so hawkish, even more so than Israelis themselves?
Well, I think the American right-wingers have a form of mental illness. I really do. The idea that they, out of love for Israel, quote-unquote love for Israel, they would support policies for Israel that would lead to Hezbollah rockets landing on Haifa and Tel Aviv and other places is really sick. Ehud Olmert, Ehud Olmert, the former prime minister, really went through a transformation from being a far right winger to someone who understood that Israel can only survive in the context of peace. Not surprisingly, not long after he made that transformation, he was driven from office. I mean, that was pretty much the end of his political career. But there still are people in Israel. There are people who understand this. Look, frankly, I think if a president of the United States came out and said, I will support Israel within the 67 lines, we've got to make these compromises, you've got to make these compromises for peace, I'm going to help you do it and protect your security, I think the overwhelming majority of Israelis would support that. But I don't think that's going to be an option. Obama seems too scared to take any risks on that front at all, and Romney won't want to. So I'm fairly hopeless about the future.
Well, just in closing, MJ Rosenberg, what's happening, though, in the neighborhood is really historical in terms of the shifts that are underway, and that they could be both beneficial for Israel or they could turn into a nightmare. The fall of the Assads, which seems all but inevitable. There's a possibility in desperation that Assad may transfer his chemical arsenals to Hezbollah. And there's also a possibility that they may be captured by some of the jihadis on the Free Syrian Army side, who are pretty scary people. But I would have thought that at this moment, the last thing that the Israelis would want to do is provoke a war, particularly with Iran, when Iran is on the ropes. I just don't understand that kind of suicide pact that these right-wingers like Romney and company have, where they're just so itching to go to war with Iran.
I don't think Romney is itching to go to war with Iran. I think that Netanyahu is itching for the United States to go to war with Iran, and that Romney probably doesn't quite get how it would play out. Israel attacks Iran, Iran attacks the United States, we're at war. That's what the Israelis want. The right-wing Israelis want us to destroy the power of the Islamic Republic of Iran, not because they believe it has nuclear weapons or is on a nuclear development program, because they know that's not true, but because Iran challenges their regional hegemony. I don't think Romney understands it. I think what he thinks and what he's being told is, oh, just let Israel do the job. But the Israeli military and the intelligence community there say, we can't do the job. Only the U.S. can. And that's why they tend, the military and the intelligence community there tend to be against it. I think Romney is just playing a very short game. He thinks that he can ride the back of the tiger to get to the White House. He just doesn't understand that once he gets to the White House, the tiger in the form of Sheldon Adelson and friends could devour him. I don't think he quite gets that yet.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, MJ Rosenberg.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with MJ Rosenberg, who's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, where he focuses on foreign policy and Middle East affairs. He worked on Capitol Hill for various Democratic members of the House and Senate for 15 years and previously served as the director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum and was an editor of Near East Report, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC's biweekly publication on Middle East policy. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a veteran White House Middle East insider.